everybody, and welcome to Heartbeat. Today, the title of what I'm going to share on is Open Your Eyes, What Do You See? For any of you who have heard of macular degeneration, you would understand how that can affect your sight and what you see. Macular degeneration is an eye disease that causes vision loss or blindness if it's left too long. It affects our sight, it affects what we see. Once you have it, it's not curable, but it can be controllable depending on what type you have. You know, in the last couple of years, they've noticed the ability to keep it at bay, to keep it, say, degenerating even more. You know, what happens is they do a test where you close one eye because you're checking one eye and then the other, and you've got to look at these spots, and it's like there's a black spot, a part of the vision that's not working in a certain part of the eye. Of course, then they go in and have a look at the blood vessels at the back of the eye and the health and everything. But this blindness, which affects, often the retina, the health of the eye, what you can see, we need it to be healthy for our sight. But we have a soul that shapes what we see as well. You know, we can see a certain situation happening, and depending on our attitude, our heart, our soul, even at the time, or in a season, or because of past hurt experiences or past experiences of abuse or anger, we can see it a different way. So the health of our soul is really important to be able to see clearly. Otherwise, we will see gaps. We will see black spots. We won't actually see the whole picture that God has for us and for our lives. When your soul is sick, one of the symptoms is blindness. You could be totally blind physically, but so healthy. Or you can be seeing physically, but you're really sick. And this black spot affects what you see. Bitterness is like cancer. It's toxic. It can hurt our lives badly. Unforgiveness is a cancer that can affect now and into the future, but also often has affected our past so badly we don't see the benefits of God. We don't see the goodness of God that He has for us. We don't see what God has for us because we hold grudges. We not forgive something or someone or a situation. Maybe we don't forgive God for something that's happened to us in our lives, in our life situations. Things can also have a desensitizing effect on ourselves. We don't get hurt as much because I put up walls, barriers, so I protect myself. I've been hurt in the past, so I protect myself. So I don't have those soft, gooey feelings anymore, where I am compassionate and I see the need of people because I've been hurt, so I've protected myself. Our soul sees differently if we've been affected by different things. We can become blind to love. We can see or not see the love people extend to us. You know, it says in 1 Peter, see how much the Father lavishes His love on us. Sad to say, there's so many people in the world that don't see the Father's love. It's there. He's extending it to us. They just don't see it. You know, they often say, well, He can do it for others. He can perform miracles for others. He can help others in their life, but God doesn't help me. I'm either too far gone, I'm such a bad sinner, or I don't really know God. I don't really care for God, so why would God care for me? God doesn't work like that. He doesn't give us reward. He does give us reward if we do things, But his love never wanes if we don't do things. His love is continuously on, full on, 100% charged towards us. And if we give him back love, wonderful. If we give him back abuse or hatred or, you know, just being apathetic about it, his love doesn't wane. It doesn't stop. Because that's not God. God is love. He cannot help but be love. You know, we lose the ability to see beauty. Beauty in nature, in creation, in sunsets, in sunrises. If our soul is affected, because it affects what we see. Remember, our soul can be sick. We lose the ability to see truth, affection. The eyes of our heart are influenced by our mind, though, too. Our mind and our spirit work together. You know, just as the unification that God, when he created us, he gets the heart to work with the lungs, to go work with the blood, to work with the, you know, the muscle, to work with just everything. All the organs are in play, work in unity together, having their role. So too, God allows our mind and our spirit and our soul, who we are, to work together, to be affected by one or the other. Our mind can affect our body so much. Our spirit knows the mind of us, but the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. So if you want to know God more, seek out the Holy Spirit. Ask him to come into your life more. We Christians know that the Holy Spirit lives and breathes within us. So he reveals to us God's wisdom. He reveals to us what is of God. He whispers deep into our soul. He enlightens our mind. Just think about it. Do you give God time to whisper deep into your soul, to give you refreshment, to enlighten with truth and wisdom your mind? Or do you just do it in your own energy, in your own ability, which, if you're like me, isn't always there, is often so weak, so unable. You know, we need to keep our mind at rest even when it's busy, even when it's stressful. You know, it's wonderful to take time out if you can. Daily, weekly, monthly. What a holiday. Sometimes it's time out away from the normal humdrum of life, the normal stress, the normal routine. It's time to rest, to regenerize ourselves, but to get more energy. But do we let our mind settle? Don't miss, though, that the spirit needs to be refreshed too. A normal mind is at rest. And when it is, it can assess situations correctly. But if your mind is all upheavaled and all frustrated and all affected by the busyness and the rush of life, you don't see properly. It colours everything. It's like wearing different coloured glasses, wearing glasses and you can't see. They're all foggy. You know, I remember there was a gentleman and he was a physicist and they were interviewing him, and he actually developed the dishwasher. The idea of how a dishwasher would work and how it would help society. And they said, so how did you invent this? Did you think, I've got to clean dishes, I've got to do this? And he said, well, actually, I know what I wanted, but I didn't know how to do it. And he said, what I did was realized every time I tried and was forcing my mind to think a certain way, I got clouded. I just couldn't think straight. So he said, what I did was I lay down on the lounge room floor in his house. And he said, I rested. I closed my eyes and I had a rest. And I started thinking of ladybugs in the garden, flying from one tree or flower to another plant, flying along. And all of a sudden, the idea came. And he said, I knew exactly what I needed to do to make this dishwasher. Oh my goodness, ladybugs and dishwashers? Where did they fit in? No, it's because he rested his mind and allowed, it's God reveals to us what is of his creation or what is of him or what we can, how we can use our abilities. But he rested his mind in enough space to actually then allow the thoughts to just congeal together, to work. Otherwise, it was like he was forcing something he didn't even know how to do anyway. I thought it was very interesting. You know, when we're too busy, when we're overworked, when we're stressed, when we're worried, when we're fearful, when we're anxious, when there's the season of different things, and there might be a reason to be all anxious and rushed and busy, but it's difficult then to see the world with the right eyes. We need our mind to rest. It's important to regularly calm and quiet ourselves. Why do people sometimes breathe deeply before going to sleep? Why do they then sometimes meditate? Now, we meditate upon God and God's word, but just relax the body, relax the soul, relax the mind. Because then we're actually available for the Spirit of God to come into us and share us his wisdom and truth and share us refreshment. We're open to him. It does not mean, though, that I always have to have a quiet retreat time, because sometimes we can't. Wonderful if you could. Okay, stopping, ending, no, life's not happening tomorrow. I'm going on retreat. There are times when we need to do that. But sometimes I know as a wife and a mother, you know, there's time, seasons in our career when you just don't have the opportunity. Then take that opportunity, even if it's 5 minutes at night before hopping into bed. Just quiet yourself down. Sit before the Lord. Get some time for you and respite. Give God time. Allow him to be the author of our lives. He loves me no matter what. Then sit there and just absorb his love. If our minds are too busy, we miss what the Lord is attempting to say to us, to give to us, to help us with. You know, Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he followed God, and God said, I'm going to come by to your place. I'm going to pass by. And he was, at the time, was in a cave because he had been hiding. Anyway, this, you know, earthquake came. God was not in the earthquake. There was thunder and lightning and a huge storm. God was not in the storm. God came. In 1 Kings 19, after the fire, came a gentle whisper. So there's a fire that happened as well, and he wasn't in the ferocious fire. He came in the gentle whisper. Still your minds and your spirits in order to make it accessible to God. Open your eyes. The Lord may pass you by, and you don't want to miss him. I don't want him passing by and I didn't recognize him. I didn't see him. I didn't call out to him. I didn't hear him. You know, it's often times when I'm on holidays that I actually hear him, because I've stilled the rush of my life. I've given me space to rest. But then in many ways, I give God space to talk to me. I've given God opportunity to open my eyes and hear his voice, see his love that he has for us. You know, in Ephesians, we are encouraged to be enlightened with our eyes of our heart. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him. So he's saying, I'll give you a spirit of wisdom. Who doesn't want wisdom? Of revelation. What's the right things to do? The right choices, the right career path, the right things to be a parent, the right whatever. It's available to us as we come to know him. so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. I want to see the Father's love. I want to see the hope that he's called me to. He's called everyone to hope, to love, to the wonder of God. And what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and his immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe? Go back to verse 18. So that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, God enlightens our eyes, our attitude, our thoughts, our mind, our souls. So that you know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the work of his great power? So we are given riches. We are given great power. We are given hope, eternal life with him. And we're given love. What more could you ask for? What more could you seek? So spend the time in a, even like I said, 5 minutes of rest, and ask our God to open our eyes, to enlighten the eyes of our heart, so that we can be refreshed and we can see what he truly has for each and every one of our lives. Let us pray and ask God to be with us. Oh, loving Father, we ask you to be with us. We ask you to open our eyes, to open our hearts, to enlighten us with your wisdom, your truth, your hope that you have for us. We thank you that you are available to us. Grace us. And if we don't know you, don't know how to even ask, may we just sit there. Say, come, Lord Jesus. And you never, never stop an invitation to come into someone's life. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.